Well, thank you for being here every Sunday. Our attendance is beginning to increase again. We hope by August we'll be back to full speed here with all of our services and all of our ministries. Thank you if you're watching us by video, by your smart pad, your electronic device this morning as well. I invite you to take your Bible or your electronic device and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. I want to talk about a subject, when life crashes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Back in February of this year, the state of Texas had the largest ice and snowstorm they had ever experienced in the state's history. On I-35, right outside of Fort Worth, Texas, over 60 vehicles, cars, trucks, and tractor trailers were involved in a massive accident. Amazingly, only 6 people were killed. One of the police officers was interviewed after this was all over, and he said, "We're trained for emergencies, but nothing of this proportion." In Harris County, Texas, 25 people were killed, some in car wrecks, some by carbon monoxide, some by starting fires in their houses. There were other people who were freezing to death because the power grid was powered by windmills. And you know what else they were using? The big power screens, the solar panels. All of those were iced over. They were iced up. Through February 21st, the state of Texas had already counted up over $50 billion in damages to businesses and to individuals. Meanwhile, back here in Rome, Floyd County and Polk County, we heard about the death of 8 of our teenagers, most of them killed in automobile accidents, most of them through no fault of their own. Pastors, youth ministers, school counselors, teachers, principals have been going to the aid of other students who are involved in the grief process. They're asking the question, why did this happen to happen? Why did this have to happen to our kids? I want to recommend a book to you. It's old, but you can still find it. And James Dobson wrote this book. He wrote, "When God doesn't make sense," especially you parents, I encourage you to get a copy, "When God Doesn't Make Sense." When I was in high school, my first cousin lived in Atlanta. We were the exact same age. He got leukemia the junior year he was in high school. We graduated from high school, and within 2 months, he died of leukemia. I had one of my friends in high school who committed suicide. He took a .22, muffled it, shot himself in his bedroom, and his body was not discovered until the next morning. I had 2 friends who were killed in automobile accidents. We struggle with the question of why. Why does my marriage fail? Why have I failed financially? Why was my job taken away? And on it goes. Well, listen, I want you to know that God allows pain in our life. And the first thing we need to discover is the purpose of the pain that comes our way. God has a purpose. Now, what is God's purpose? Why does pain have to come? Why does suffering have to come? Number one, because God has given us free will. God did not make us like robots. If he would have, we would never have done anything bad. We'd never done anything to displease God. He's given us a free will. And sometimes we make bad choices, and we make bad choices, then we suffer the consequences. Some of you are here today that you may be victims of somebody else's choice. Somebody decides to drink and drive, and they run into you, and they injure you. Maybe your injuries are permanent. You may even experience a fatality. It's always been amazing to me how the drunk driver usually survives and the people he hits usually are maimed for life or killed. Then we go on here a little further and we see that we have free will and everybody else has free will. So some of the suffering has absolutely nothing to do with the choices that we make. I want you to write this down, Proverbs 20, verse 30. God allows pain to come into our lives to get our attention. Proverbs 20, verse 30 says, sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. Have you ever found that to be true? God allows a painful situation, a crisis to come in our lives, and then we have to evaluate the way we're living our life. Are we dedicated to the Lord? Are we serving the Lord as a dad, as a husband? Are you the spiritual leader in your household? I see people who didn't need God, didn't call on God, didn't think about God, who claim to be Christians, and then they got involved in some very painful situations. And when they got in that painful situation, the first thing they do is call on God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9. Paul is talking to the Corinthians who are going through a painful time. And he said, I'm glad not because it hurts you, but because the pain turns you to God. All of you here know that are not guests today, that's your first-time guest, I'm a Dave Ramsey fan. I think about Dave and his wife, they're practicing Christians. But you know his story. Years ago, he decided he wanted to get rich quick. So he was buying houses cheap and flipping them, making a big profit. And he's doing this with borrowed money. He had bought into the myth in our society that debt is your leverage to wealth. Everything was going great. He made millions. He was walking around just strutting. He was so proud of himself. But when the economy crashed, he lost all of his houses and lost all of his money. He had absolutely nothing. He'd put his family's future in jeopardy. And when you read his story, you'll find that later on, he started the financial peace seminar on a little cardboard table in his den. He now, as he is trying to teach people Bible-based principles and people, he wants them to get debt-free as soon as possible. He now employs about 450 employees in Nashville, Tennessee. And in the last 6 years, his business has been chosen one of the top three in Nashville where employees love to work. Now listen to me carefully. It might be today that God's using tears to open your eyes. God's using suffering to bring you to Him. God uses pain to teach me to depend on God. 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul talks about being crushed. He says, we're out here on missions work, kingdom work. And he says, we are overwhelmed. And he talks about being powerless to help himself. God brought him to a place where if he was going to succeed, he had to totally depend on God. When God doesn't make sense, when bad things happen to good people. You remember back in 2017, there was a church over in Sutherland Springs, Texas. First Baptist Church, they were having their morning service that Sunday. And 11:20, a man there named Devin Kelly stepped in and began to fire a weapon. Most people killed in a single shooting in the history of the state of Texas. I want you to know that on that day, the pastor was out of town on vacation, but his 14-year-old daughter was among the 26 people that were slain that day at church. The pastor, when he returned home from vacation, he had to do the funerals individually for the 26 people who were slain by the shooter. A reporter went to the pastor and he said, "Can you make sense of this tragedy?" And the pastor said, "I don't understand, but I know my God does." Trust allows us to experience God's comfort and healing, and it will eventually empower us to express unconditional gratitude to God. God allows pain and crisis in our life to prepare us to serve Him. You know, when God brings suffering in your life, it teaches you to be more sympathetic and empathetic with other people. I remember when I was younger, I'd watch college football and be some linebacker on the sidelines with his helmet off, and the announcer would say, "He's not playing today, he's got a pinched nerve." And I'd sit there watching TV, that wimp. Well, let me tell you, have you ever had a pinched nerve before? I had one that went from the side of my head all the way down my right side where I couldn't use my right leg, wound up in the hospital for 5 days in cervical spine traction. And if you're a little bit claustrophobic and you're not on medication, that is not a good place to be. But I learned that a pinched nerve is something that hurts, that it's debilitating. And ladies and gentlemen, until we experience what some other people are, maybe going through cancer, maybe heart disease, maybe the loss of a child, maybe the loss of their spouse, we have no idea what they're experiencing. If you take an alcoholic over here who really wants to get off of alcohol, the best person to put over here along their side is somebody who's trusting the Lord, has been an alcoholic, but has been delivered from that. They need to come alongside the one who wants to get off the alcohol, because their words mean more than any preacher or any therapist, because the one who's off it has been there. Look at what 2 Corinthians 1:4 says. Why does God do this? So when others are troubled, needing our sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them the same help and comfort that God can give to us. Don't waste your suffering. Don't waste your problems. God is saying in the midst of it, He says, "I want you to come alongside others and I want you to help them." So there are many, many people who are hurting all about us, but listen, you don't help people that much with your strengths. You help people with your weaknesses that God has helped you walk through at a previous time. If you just come up to somebody and you just tell them about your strength and what you're good at and what you can handle, that's not helping the person that's over here in their weakness at all. And God prepares you to serve Him. In 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everybody who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." He said, be ready to tell people not only that you've had problems, but be willing to tell them in a very humble way how God walked you through them to the other side. So God uses our pain, crisis it comes, to show you and demonstrate to you that you are responsible. We learn to depend on Him. We learn to serve Him. And we learn to come alongside other people and share that experience so they can heal. Now notice the next thing, a perspective into our pain. As we look for insight, we're trying to see positives in the pain. And I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. If someone is overcome by some sin, humbly help him back on the right path, remembering that the next time it might be you who is in the wrong. Share each other's troubles and problems, and so obey our Lord's command. And that's what the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. That's the positive, so that we might come alongside and help others. Now, when you have an opportunity to come alongside and help others, they may have lost their spouse to death, may have lost their job. You've been through that before. Some tragedy happened. You've been through that before. When you come alongside them, the first thing you want to do is be very, very humble. What we like to do is all the talking if we've been through that experience. What we need to do is have a ministry of presence. We're there for them. And the other thing, we need to have an ear for them. You don't need to come alongside people who are going through a crisis and say, man, you made one of the dumbest choices I think you've ever made in anybody's life. I sure am glad I didn't do what you did. You know, my brother's been through 3 divorces. At one point, he was dating the secretary of his divorce lawyer. Now, I don't know if you get a discount for doing that. I have no idea. And then my sister's husband, after 40 years, 6 months ago, he decided to leave her. So I'm walking alongside her as she's going through a divorce, and because of COVID, it's probably going to take about a year for us to get this thing settled. When I call my sister once a week, or she calls me, I try to be very humble about this thing. She was married for 40 years, and her husband walks out. Except by the grace of God, there goes me. When people come to you for help, you need to be humble. The second thing you need to do is be very genuine with people. Be real. Be a friend. Be there for them. You know, it's easy to stand and sing songs on Sunday morning and appear so spiritual. But unless you come to these people with the attitude that I know what it is to hurt, and I really want you to know that I'm with you and I'm praying for you and I'm here to help you, you've got to be very, very genuine. The third thing you don't want to do is preach. You don't want to give them a lecture. God wants us to be a witness, not a defense attorney. And you don't argue everybody into the kingdom of heaven. You just share what Jesus has done for you with the people going through troubles. Now, I want you to look now at the next part of the message here, the prescription for us when we experience pain. Now, I've done funerals for babies, for children, for teenagers, just all ages. And I think the ones for the babies and the children are the most difficult. And I cannot feel what those parents and grandparents and siblings are feeling. I have no idea. But I want you to know this. When we personally are going through some kind of crisis that's come upon us, where it was circumstance, our choice, or somebody else's negligence, the first thing is you need to make sure that you're saved and you're following Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. If you don't, you can't cope with it. Jesus says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Many of you today have walked down an aisle and you've joined a church, you may have been baptized, some kind of religious profession of faith, but some have not trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. Billy Graham said during his ministry that in his experience, he felt like that 50% of people who attend church regularly have never been born again. Second thing I want you to do is this. Not only commit your life to Christ, commit this situation to the Lord, depend on Him, is write out your experience. Write out your experience. Listen, as you walk with the Lord and you go through this experience, you want it written down because what did I say? God allows pain to come in our lives, what did Galatians say, so that we might serve the Lord. Sometimes the only good that can come out of the suffering that you go through is later on God is going to put somebody in your path. He's going through the same thing you did years ago, and God is wanting to use you to give them comfort and share your experience. If you want to, email me your experience. Write it down. We will get it. I won't share it unless you give me permission to share it with somebody else. You know, sometimes a mom has miscarriages and later she has 2 or 3 children. Well, I get another mom that comes along and has a couple of miscarriages and she don't understand it, can't have children. So what I do, if this one over here walked with the Lord, I get those two together, went through their crisis with the Lord. I show them this person, they get together and they walk hand in hand through that crisis. I do that when people are experiencing cancer. I do that when people are experiencing marriage problems. Here's a couple over here who've gone through what you did in the past, and get them together. You need to share your story. Don't waste the painful experience. The next thing is commit yourself to a church family. Why? Because Hebrews says, do not neglect the assembling of yourselves together. Well, I hear so many people, since we've had COVID, I will never go back to a church again. Oh, God must have given you an exception. Is that what happened? No, that's a command in God's word. It's not a conditional. It's not, if we had COVID, then you can never come back to church again. Doesn't say anything about that. It's forsake not the assembling of the body of believers together. No excuses. I've said before, I say it again, you are our family. Delaney and I don't have any children that we know about. Now that somebody may leave somebody at our front door when we get home, we have no idea what people are going to do. Be careful before you open your door. But you're our family. You know, many of you walked through crisis we had back in 2007, 2009 with our parents. Some of you were there for us. Some of you helped us break up housekeeping in Augusta for two sets of parents. You just always have been along our side, but I want you to know we're your family too. And that's the way we need to be as a church. We need to be standing together as a family. That's one of the problems we've got politically in our nation right now. Christians are not standing together. We don't even stand together as a body of believers in one local church. We've got to stand. We're a family. Oh, do we get in an argument every now and then? If you're a Baptist, you do. You'll have something bad to say about somebody. You don't like the way they look or whatever. And listen, when you get into a church, find a small group. Find a Sunday school class. And there you'll surround yourself with people who have love, and they'll pray for you and get to know people and build relationships. I had a call Saturday morning. It was a couple who went to our church for a while, and they retired. They used to sit right over here, and wife was in the choir. And he called me, the former member called me. They live over in Alabama now. They're over in foreign missions over there. And so I said, what do you want, Greg? And he said, man, he said, my wife has broken her foot and it's cut the tendons. And said she has no control over that foot at all. It just moves at will. She can't walk, said she's in a boot. Said she's having surgery on Monday. And this is pivotal, because if this does not work, she won't be able to walk again. He said, please put her on your prayer list. And I'm going to call him tomorrow after that surgery is over. Now why did he call back over here? He's involved in another church. He told me, he said, we're in a church now. So the first time we went to visit this church, I wore a suit. And Jan dressed real nice. He said, they thought we were a pastor search committee. Said, everybody in that church over there dresses, said they dress in shorts and t-shirts. And he said, the minister of music said he dresses in jeans and his shirt tails out. And said he doesn't wear socks. He said, no socks. His inn over there in Alabama, well, they can't afford socks over there. He ought to know that. And he said, he's in tennis shoes. He said, the first Sunday we was there, said, I looked at my wife and said, Jan, Dr. May would have fired that boy about last week, wouldn't he? And said, the pastor is a great preacher and a good man, but he dresses like he's homeless. He said, we don't understand all that. But why did he call back to his former church family? He knew this was a place that we would pray for them, stand alongside them, and encourage them. Listen, ask God to give you somebody that you can share your testimony of how God has made a difference in your life. Paul said in Acts 20:24, life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus. You ever written out the word recovery? The last letter in recovery is a Y, and it means to yield. The people who will not listen to this pastor will listen to you. You've got classmates at school that are going through a crisis. You've got neighbors. You've got coworkers. I thought about how many of the schools, the students and the faculty, they're grieving because of the death of these students. The cold, hard fact is that's life. And it's not just going to happen when you're in high school and middle school. You're going to see this happening out here in life. So what Rome and Floyd County and Polk County need to do is prepare for those times when life crashes. I've been praying for teens in our community to get saved. I've been praying for their parents to get saved. You know, it's not going to matter when you die whether you're a dragon, a tiger, a blue devil, wolves, lions, or Indians, or you're your mama's honor student. It's only going to matter whether you've trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. You know, if we didn't have adversity, we'd just be content and cool all the time, wouldn't we? But that's not the way life is. I was reading a story the other day about a lady named Frances. Frances was born. She had some eye problems. And at 6 weeks of age, the surgeon operated on her eyes, and because he made a mistake, she was blind for the rest of her life. Then the first year Frances was living, her dad died. Frances was raised by her mother and her grandmother. Here's a little girl, she's blind. In her late 30s, she found the love of her life. She and her husband, after about a year or two, were expecting their first child, and their child died in infancy. They couldn't have any more children. Frances followed with these poetic words that she had written after the death of her child, and these words she had written when she was 9 years old, blind. Oh, what a happy soul I am, although I cannot see. I'm resolved that in this world, contented I will be. Is she crazy? Well, she had a great faith. You know her better as Fanny Crosby. She wrote over 8,000 hymns and gospel songs filled with hope. But she didn't start writing songs. Listen, wrote over 8,000. She didn't start writing her songs until she was 44 years old. Amazing. One of her most beloved hymns, Blessed Assurance, speaks of her faith and tells of the unique twist God included in her amazing 95 years of life. In 1873, a lady named Phoebe Knapp came alongside her. She was a pianist. She composed as well. Phoebe's husband started what you know as the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. Phoebe came over one day to see Frances. She said, I've written a new tune and I want you to listen to it. So she played it twice and she said, I don't have any words for it. So Fanny Crosby said, I believe that's going to be blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. As so often was the case, the words flowed quickly from Frances. Here's why the words flowed so quickly. By the age of 15, Fanny Crosby, blind, could recite the manuscripts of the first five books in the Bible. She'd memorized it. She had memorized the book of Proverbs. blind. Then I read a little further, and she had memorized the Song of Solomon. And then you could follow along, but she could quote all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's incredible. Those two women collaborated on other great hymns. And then they finished the piece near the cross. Because of a heart contented in Christ, she could declare through her physical blindness, "Visions of rapture now burst on my sight." The phrase, "only God," comes to mind when you think of Phoebe's husband, the life insurance entrepreneur, as a husband there, working with a blind woman to write hymns of praise. I want you to know that Joseph Knapp died at 59. And his wife, who worked alongside Fanny Crosby, donated almost their entire fortune to God's kingdom work. Do we have crisis? Yes, we do. Yesterday afternoon, Delaine called her college roommate. You know, it's amazing all these years later, you and your college roommate would still be close friends like sisters. They were sharing on the phone. She said, "I'm riding on a bus called Struggle. Pam, a roommate, has a daughter, Gina. Gina's probably in her 30s. She married a young missionary. They serve a church in England, and they've got a couple of kids. So Pam's got a couple of grandkids. You with me so far? Then she's got another daughter, that Abby, that lives over in Columbia, South Carolina. She just got married in the last 2 years. Well, Pam took care of her husband. He died about 8 years ago with pancreatic cancer. All of his family members have died of cancer. All of her husband's family members. I had to go over there 8 years ago to do his funeral. Well, I want you to know that Gina discovered a little knot, went to the doctor in England. She has breast cancer, and it's rated with a stage. And she and her family have had to come back to Houston, Texas, to MD Anderson. They may be there 2 years. She's got 5 surgeries, chemo, radiation lined up. And then they decided that Abby was having no problems over in Columbia, but they said, "Since your dad and all of his family died of cancer, we need to get you checked." Guess what? She had breast cancer and didn't know it. Now she's going to go through 4 or 5 surgeries, radiation, and chemo. Pam is a strong Christian. But I want you to know she's trying to bear too much of this burden. And it's got her down. And I told her, we pray for you kids every single day. And we just love her with all our heart. And Delaine and her have so much in common. They're both preacher's kids. They've known each other since 1972. But just to listen to the hurt in her voice for her 2 daughters that are battling cancer will absolutely crush your spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for life's crisis? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians and in the prison epistles what to do. It's life on this side of heaven. And what God wants to do is for you to walk with Him through that crisis so that you can walk alongside somebody else that go through the same crisis. And one day, for those who are born again, the Lord's going to take us to a place where there's no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more tears, and no more death. That's why God wants you to get your story out to people who are hurting. Because the only way you can cope with the pain of life is through the power of the Holy Spirit, walking along next to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Will you stand right where you are, heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. We have a community that is grieved by what we've seen take place. Help us to be very prayerful and help us to be very empathetic and help us to be very available to compassionately come alongside people who've experienced such great losses. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I want you to know that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross with His blood that He shed. He purchased the free gift of salvation for you, and the third day He arose from the dead. Whoever calls on His name shall be saved. Would you do that today? Others, if you've already made that decision, be a candidate for baptism. Like you saw Charlie this morning, that's your real public profession of faith, just a symbol that you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some of you searching for a church home, you've been praying about that, where you need to plant your spiritual gifts that God's given you. And some of you, He's calling right here to this little place in Silver Creek. Lord, we just thank You for the opportunity to come together as a body of believers. We've been through this COVID mess. It's not over. We're just thankful to be able to come together in person, to meet together, to encourage one another, and to worship You in spirit and in truth. And now this is the most important time of this service. And Lord, I pray that You will guide in the private and the public decisions that are about to be made. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ted's coming to the front in the Family Life Center with a praise band. Billy's going to join me here at the front. If you need to make a decision today, we invite you to come. If you're uncomfortable coming forward here, if you would just meet us at the welcome desk here in the Welcome Center or in the Family Life Center at the Connect desk, one of our staff members will meet with you right after this service. If you're watching by video, if you need prayer or you need to talk to one of our staff members about your salvation, just call 706-234-1841 and leave a message. We'll get to you as soon as possible. So Mark's going to lead us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.